Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome, Sharks fans, to Dudes on Hockey episode 36. It's the trade deadline spectacular.
That's right, dude.
I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude.
I like to call this day Hockey Christmas.
Yeah, it is. And we got a present under the tree. We got two.
We did. We got some presents. So we're going to be talking all about trades today. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened during last week with the Sharks, but this week is all about the trade deadline. That's why we put off this week's Dudes on Hockey episode for a few hours or a day so we could bring to you all you listeners. We were the ones that watched TSN for 8 straight hours this morning. We were the ones.
My eyes are burning.
We were the ones that were refreshing TSN.ca every 30 seconds.
It was so sad, dude. This is how sad my addiction is.
Uh-huh.
I got up this morning at 4:50.
Wow.
I was going to go downstairs and watch the coverage, the TSN coverage on my computer, because we don't live in Canada.
Right.
And
you don't get the NHL Network?
But it wasn't on the NHL Network this morning.
Oh.
The coverage.
Interesting.
And I went on the computer, dude, and I couldn't get it.
Ugh.
I had to install some software that I wasn't able to install because I didn't have the password because work is blocking my hockey addiction.
Yeah.
It was sad. Yeah. It was really sad. It was pathetic. I had to crawl back into my cave and wait.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but it worked out, dude.
Okay, good. So lots of stuff happened. I was actually at work at 6 in the morning because I just supposedly had a meeting which got canceled the last minute, so I woke up early. So I was end up watching the trade coverage at work at 6 in the morning. I was the only one in the building, it seemed like, and I'm sitting here with TSN.
Did you make a guy chai?
No, I did not, but that's an excellent question.
Dude, we got two former Ducks.
That's right.
Have now clipped their wings, and they're become Sharks.
That's right.
One of the Ducks who I dislike the most, mm-hmm. Travis Moan,
mm-hmm.
is now, I think, might become one of my favorite players.
He's one of those guys that you hate when he's on the other team, and you love when he's on your team. Travis Moan was a member of the Ducks' much-heralded third line, which also included Sammy Paulson and Rob Niedermeyer, and we'll talk about Paulson later in the show, but the Ducks traded Moan and Kent Huskins, who is a number five or number six, really a number six defenseman, to the Sharks for some prospects for Nick Bonino, who's a college player, I believe, at Boston University, I think,
mm-hmm.
he is.
Yeah.
Timo Pielmeyer, who is a Finnish goalie prospect and a conditional pick. So we're not sure what pick it is, but basically, the Sharks gave up no roster players and got two roster players in return.
Which we desperately need right now.
Which we desperately need right now because all of this has to be filtered through the prism of JR and Greer being out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. Not good. And we saw the result of that,
right.
How that lineup looked last night without those two guys in it, without Gotch, without Claude Lemieux, who was mysteriously scratched from the lineup last night, but Travis Moan's going to jump in immediately, Mike, and make a huge impact. This guy, if you don't know who he is, he leads the Ducks in hits right now with 120 hits. Bill Clement was calling him on the wrap-up trade wrap-up show one of the best third-line players in the NHL, which, you know, may be a bit of a stretch.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
But this guy is tough, dude.
He is tough.
He's a badass.
I think he has 6 or 7 fighting majors this year. He's not afraid to step up and defend his players. I think the Sharks can certainly expect that out of Moan. And
someone put on the blog a video that I think everybody should go check out if you haven't checked out Hockey Analysis, right? What is it?
Sharks.hockeyanalysis.com.
Excuse me.
Dude, don't know the own blog.
That you should click on this link. It's a really great fight between Travis Moan and Shea Weber.
Right, which has a pretty amazing conclusion. So I will leave that teaser for you. I invite you all to check out that.
We've watched it like 4 times already.
Yeah.
So. Thank you to whoever put that on there. It's absolutely hilarious.
And awesome.
And great. And it makes me excited about him. This is a great pickup. Exactly the kind of player we need.
Right. And but also there's a little bit of melancholy for Sharks fans out there because a longtime Shark and a Shark that we've talked about in many previous shows, Kyle MacLaren, was traded today, which I believe you had, dude.
Dude, you scoffed, you smirked.
I did.
You,
I didn't think that they could trade a guy who has missed 30 games because of a wrist injury and has basically garnered no attention all year long.
Anything can happen. Olli Kosick got traded today.
That's right.
I think he had both his legs removed.
I think you're right. But MacLaren was traded to the Flyers for a sixth round draft pick, which is basically the least that you can get in a pick other than a bag of pucks. But, you know, MacLaren is unrestricted at the end of the year. It's actually a little surprising that the Sharks could get anything for him. And I've already dubbed this deal Mike Rathje 2.
Dude, consider this. Like you said, McLaren's been around the Bay Area working out, right?
Yeah, he has.
If he's healthy,
mm-hmm.
couldn't you say that this could be a huge steal for the Flyers? They could use him.
Yes. Well, I'm a little confused by that deal because the Flyers have a lot of D right now. I mean, think of who they got. They got Jones, and they got Timonen, and they got Coburn, and they have Carl, and they got a lot of dudes.
Sure, so he's insurance.
And Ryan Parent.
Sure, he's insurance. He could stay in the AHL, and they can bring him up for the playoffs and have him around.
That's right.
He's great insurance. He's insurance that we could have had, but instead of MacLaren, you know, we're going to have Kent Huskins as our insurance, I suppose.
That's right.
Certainly an upgrade over Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the question really is, you know, Luco hasn't looked really fantastic since being back. Do you think Huskin's going to jump in and take that sixth spot, dude?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think it's going to be interesting to see sort of how the roster flushes out. I think Lukowicz is definitely a better player than Huskins is. But, you know, Luco may sit a little bit here and there. I don't know if he's completely healed from his injury. I know Lukowicz himself has not been particularly complimentary of his own play recently, so that's a point. But, you know, if people say sometimes that you need eight defensemen to go far in the playoffs, and now the Sharks have eight, not counting Derek Jocelyn. So that means Semenov and Huskins sort of in relief, and the six defensemen that the Sharks have had all year, all of which are currently healthy, knock on wood. So
I'm hoping the order is Huskins, Semenov.
Right. Because Semenov on the wing is not good. I think that sort of segues us into last week's games, which was unfortunately another fairly disappointing week of games. 2-2, they beat Dallas in a game they shouldn't have beat.
Right.
I mean, Dallas outplayed them all the entire game, and the Sharks, Nabby basically saved their bacon in about 1,000 times, and the Sharks pulled out a win, which is, you know, a good win for a team that wasn't playing well against a team that's pretty desperate in the face of injury. So that was pretty good. And then totally outmanned against Detroit.
Terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Depressing.
Yes, very, very shocking. So we do have an email to that effect because I know we had some stuff on the blog about that. So this is our resident Wings fan, Chris, Wings fan in Sharks land. Mm. He sort of refuted a lot of the points that we made on the blog, if you want to read our blog post about it. Basically, there were some, let's say, interesting refereeing calls.
That's being kind, dude.
Yeah, he didn't see the boarding hit on Thornton the way we did. He said either it could have been a major or minor. Thornton turned his back to the ice at the last second, which I frankly disagree with. I think Cleary had a pretty obvious chance to not plant Thornton into the boards head first, and he chose not to avail himself of that opportunity.
It was in the first 5 minutes of the game, right?
Right.
So it was a statement hit,
right,
for sure.
Right. Cleary wasn't trying to run Thornton. He didn't leave his feet, and there was no blood. Trying to run Thornton is debatable. It didn't leave his feet is true. No blood, true, but that's not really due to Cleary. I mean, Joe easily could have cut his head open on the dasher there. So, and if Joe had a visor, Joe would have been bleeding because his face was planted into the glass.
So I almost canceled my credit card at that point when that hit was made because I wanted to try and get my money back for the playoff deposit that we just paid for.
Yeah, that was a pretty scary moment.
Oh.
Pretty scary moment. So, Chris does have a comment about Claude Lemieux, which is something that we should address in the show. And he says, he was brought in to ruffle the opponent's feathers in a game where he absolutely needed to make a difference against his biggest rival and reigning cup champions. He's an enigma. He's only done a few things here and there to justify his presence, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's cut by the time you read this. In my opinion, he's just trying to ride a great team to get his greedy self another cup. Which is spoken like a true Wings fan, I must say. I think Chris is viewing Claude Lemieux in brown-colored glasses, shall we say. I certainly don't agree with that last statement. But to be honest, Lemieux hasn't, you know, at first I was pretty excited. I thought the first couple games he looked pretty good, but he's really not done what I think the Sharks have brought him in to do, which is sort of to get under the opponent's skin. I think with Shelley, there's not going to be a huge amount of offense, and he's not really creating any animosity with what he's doing. And it's been a little disappointing of late. It's getting a little bit tired. And with him as a healthy scratch and Semenov playing the forward, maybe we're not the only ones with that opinion.
Possible that the explanation, there is no explanation for why Lemieux didn't play last night. I hope that's not the case. I still think Lemieux, at the way that he's playing now, maybe trying to play more of a normal role, mm-hmm. like a, you know, regular player, and is still an upgrade over having Semenov running around out there up front, where he's really a liability. He just doesn't mm-hmm. seem to get involved in anything other than grabbing people and staring at them.
Yes.
But yeah, Lemieux, you know, as excited as we were, and I'm not jumping off the Lemieux train completely, but is it possible that he's definitely the odd man out now when everybody gets back and healthy? Yeah, very possible.
Especially with this Moen deal, right? Because, I mean, Moen is sort of Lemieux on steroids in a way. He fights, he's an agitator, yet he can play regular third line minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
And with Shelley on the team, is Lemieux the odd man out? It's hard to say at this point. I certainly hope, not to go on too long of a rant here for a guy that is trying to earn himself a job in the wrong way, in my opinion, he's certainly not going to be contending with Brad Staubitz, because Brad Staubitz had, in my opinion, a ridiculous game last night.
Yeah, it was. He took about two breaths on the ice and a couple strides, and then he was in a fight. And then he took a penalty.
No, he boarded somebody on
That's
his first
right.
shift.
First shift,
went to the box.
Someone. Came right out of the box and got in a fight with Chris Barge.
Right.
Which almost seemed to just fire up Dallas even more. It was that reverse fighting topic that you posed on the blog, or that at least we've talked about. I think you got an email about it, right?
I did, yeah. Chris from Boston emailed us about it, and he said, don't you think the fight with... you know, sort of to jump topics here, don't you think the fight between Larocque and Shelley turned the tide in the Montreal game? And I absolutely do. And I wrote a post in the blog to that effect. And I actually asked Randy Hahn about it when we had Randy Hahn on the radio show last weekend. And and he agreed with me. I felt like I scored a little point there because they didn't mention it on the telecast at all. And I think that was the wrong time for Shelley to fight. I appreciate Jody Shelley. I'm glad he's on this team. I like what he does. And by all accounts, he's great in the room. But to me, that was the wrong time to fight. The Sharks were buzzing like crazy. He fought maybe arguably the best fighter in the NHL, and he lost.
He got killed.
There's no doubt. He lost, and 3 minutes later, Montreal started scoring goals, and the Sharks got themselves into a hole they couldn't crawl out of, even though they dominated the last 40 minutes of the game.
Is it possible that Moen will instantly become the Sharks' best fighter? We watched a few of his YouTube scraps tonight. Yeah. It's pretty damn good.
Pretty good. Yeah, the guy's got... he's a gamer, that's for sure. He steps up against Phaneuf and stuff. I mean, he's willing to go.
Yeah.
It could be interesting. Absolutely. So, but yeah, I think those are two good points. I mean, the Montreal game, Randy Hahn called it the best game the Sharks have played since the Detroit game in January. So I was a little surprised at that. I didn't really think of it that way. I suppose he has a point, although the however many minutes the Sharks sort of took off in the first period, put themselves in a deficit that they couldn't overcome. But yet... you know, it's another sort of up and down week for the Sharks, and these injuries, now that we know that Jeremy Roenick and Greer are out probably for the rest of the entire regular season, no matter what Doug Wilson says to David Pollock, I think those moves today are definitely a result of those injuries.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to think that they might have still gone for the move anyways, but they had to make a move today.
I mean, if Greer was playing and Torrey Mitchell was playing, there's no reason they would have made that deal.
No,
yeah,
but I'm not a big Thomas Pleahall guy.
Right.
Listen, we talked about this too. I kind of made a comment last night at the game where Pleahall took another penalty in the first period. And I went back and looked. He's taken in the last five games, he's taken penalties in the first period, three out of the five games.
Right.
And he's taken penalties in four out of the last five games. This guy's only got 20 penalty minutes all year. And now he's got eight Timms in the last five games. He's putting us shorthanded.
Yeah.
He is only playing 9 minutes. What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
I mean, and there are things like hooks and holds and stop it.
Like, it's like lazy penalties.
Yeah, lazy penalties. You know, leave that to Lucas Cashbar, baby.
Yeah, another.
Leave the laziness to Lucas Cashbar.
Another guy that didn't look very good against Dallas last night. I mean, these Staubitz and Cashbar and maybe Pleahall are guys that if the Sharks have to play every night between now and the end of the regular season, I think the likelihood of the Sharks surrendering the number one seed to Detroit is pretty good.
Dude, I got two questions for you, okay?
All right.
Wouldn't you say that now, okay, Moan's been added to the mix, so that means Staubitz can go back, take his frequent flyer miles, and go. Do you think the stewardess is known by name?
I'm sure they do.
Mr. Staubitz, how are you?
Yeah.
He was at the movies.
He's the one with the soul patch.
Yeah, when he got the call.
Yeah.
Do you think he was seeing the reader?
Yeah, that or the wrestler. I don't know. He's depressing himself. Is the wrestler to get tips?
It is like, excuse me, Brad, we're calling you up to listen. I'm here with Ryan Vesey and we're watching Milk, okay? I can't get on the plane right now. I gotta see what happens to Harvey. He gets shot. Get on the plane. What? Don't you think Staubitz goes back? And if you're gonna have to play a guy regular minutes, why isn't Jamie McGinn up on the big club right now?
I don't quite understand it. Maybe because they want him to get a regular shift, and he wouldn't if he plays on the fourth line. I mean, the fourth line is maxing out at about 7 or 8 minutes, and when you're 20 years old or 21 years old or whatever McGinn is, you don't want a 21-year-old guy who needs to develop his pro hockey game to play 8 minutes a night. It's just not enough.
Okay, so we should have Cashbar playing gliding, striding defense for 8 minutes. It's tough to watch. He seems to only be checked in when he's on the top line.
That's right.
And maybe that's the way it's got to go. Now, here's my
that's not a recipe for maintaining a job in the NHL.
No, not at all. He's not in the long-term plans here. Well, so we've got the top two lines pretty much set. Mm-hmm. Let's play what if here. Mm-hmm. All right, let's say everybody comes back healthy and it's a perfect world and we all have, you know, roller skates and you know, sprinkles with ice cream and rainbows of happiness. All right. The third line I have is Moan, Mitchell, and Greer.
Right.
It's pretty good.
So where's Cheech?
Cheech is on the fourth line.
Wow.
Cheech, JR, Gotch. And the odd men out are Shelley, Pleahall, and Lemieux if we go to, you know, as we go through the playoffs.
I can live with
what
that.
What do you think about that?
I can live with that.
You think Cheech drops down?
I think he has to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whether the Sharks are or aren't coddling Cheech or whether they should coddle him more than they are now, the point is he's just flat out not producing. The only goals he's been scoring lately was when Patrick Marleau was centering his line. And I think the same rule applies to Cheech as it does for Cashbar. If you're only going to be a good hockey player with one of the best players in the world on your line, then you're not a very good hockey player. I mean, if it's like, I can't do anything useful unless I'm playing with Joe Thornton, it's like, guess what? There's lots of guys in the league that don't play with Joe Thornton and do just fine. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough spot. I think you're right, though. I mean, Mitchell, you know, there's Randy
Hunsen. Now, those are some big question marks here. Mitchell, Greer, Gotch. It's possible. JR? JR done, dude?
He might be. You know, he didn't say much. You know, not a lot of reports about how serious that is. But let's get, you know, we're trade deadline day, dude. Let's get to the other trades, because there's lots of trades that happened today. 22 trades happened today.
Nice.
25 last year, 22 today. And a lot of that stuff involved the Pacific Division. So we're mostly going to be talking about the Pacific Division. Most of the major deals happened within the Pacific Division involving Pacific Division teams. So we're going to be hitting most of the highlights here.
Dude, the best trade of the day was when the Kings got Gretzky.
That's right. Yeah,
that was a great, great trade. Yeah,
too bad that was like 20 years ago.
Oh. I saw footage of him on NHL Network crying like a little girl.
Yeah, that's right. Or was that Ryan Smith?
Good. Something about Edmonton makes a man cry.
I know, it's weird. It's so cold.
I didn't see Eric Cole crying today when he got traded.
It's true.
Or maybe that was a shot of Gretzky crying when he saw how big his wife's gambling debts were. What? No.
My 1099G. Negative. Anyway.
Damn you, Rick Tocchet. Your punishment is you will have to coach the Lightning.
Yes, that is a big punishment right now. But the Ducks made a lot of moves today. A ton, actually. Or this past week, I guess. It's not just today, but over the past week. I mean, they traded Sammy Paulson. They dismembered the third line. They traded Moen to us. They traded Sammy Paulson to Chicago for James Wisniewski and a pick. You know, the Ducks are, not to put too fine a point on it, having a fire sale right here.
Yeah, they're remodeling.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody they traded, though, they replaced with a younger version
cheaper
of
version.
The person that they got rid of. A lot of these guys are up for new deals. They trade Monador, they get Wisniewski.
Mm-hmm.
They trade, or they, Morrison is waived.
Right.
And they end up with Christensen.
All right.
Right. They get rid of Moen and Paulson. They end up with Nokelainen.
Right.
They traded
Steve Monador to the Bruins to get Nokelainen. Like we said, they just flat out waived Brendan Morrison, who was picked up by the Stars. And they made a trade of a guy that I don't know to Atlanta for Erik Christensen, who you might remember was involved in the Hossa deal last year with Pittsburgh. So, and the other thing is that happened this week is they traded Chris Kunitz, one of their top line players, to Pittsburgh again for Ryan Whitney, actually. So it's that's a pretty interesting trade for them. I mean, they had a lot of questions on D, and getting Whitney, who's under contract for the next 4 years, you know, brings some stability to the blue line because everybody else seemed to be unrestricted after this year.
Yeah, I don't really take issue with some of the moves as far as hockey trades, but they're behaving like they're the team that's in 15th place. They're tied for the 7th seed in the playoffs.
Right.
And they just waved the white flag. How are they? We were talking last night at the game. We're like, oh my God, if the season ended tonight, we play the Ducks in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, that sucks. Today I'd be like, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, like, sure.
Yeah.
I don't care. Their third
line is gone.
The third line was what made them the worst matchup for the Sharks. They killed our top line. And now, you know, one of the guys who was hardest on the Sharks is now a Shark.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ducks for this year, they just sort of threw in the towel.
They did. They sort of waved the white flag. And it's interesting. I don't know why they would do that, but I guess, you know, they had so many questions yet to be answered in the offseason. They figured they were going to be left holding the bag. So they decided to make things happen proactively, I guess, which I don't quite get, but that's what they did.
I guess. Good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, suck it.
The Ducks are no longer nearly as scary as they were.
Peace out.
The Kings made a trade. They traded Patrick O'Sullivan and a second-round pick for Justin Williams, which I'll be talking about later. Phoenix made some big trades. So this is probably the biggest trade of the day. They traded Olli Jokinen, who they got from the Florida Panthers in the offseason, to Calgary.
Right.
For Dean Lombardi, Brandon Proust, and a first-round pick. So Calgary got another good centerman. And so Calgary, who is currently the third seed, upgraded with another trade. They got Jordan Leopold from Colorado for some guys that they got off of waivers or something.
Yeah, I can't even remember the name of the guy.
Lawrence Nicolet.
Yeah, okay. So they trade him. And they get Leopold. And
right.
Did they also trade?
They traded some other dudes, too.
They trade like a draft pick or something, too. Mm-hmm. So that'd be like, dude, if we were walking down the street and I found like a dollar, like a crumpled dollar on the ground with like some blood on it.
Right.
And then I gave it to you and you gave me a 20.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happened today.
That's pretty much what happened. I mean, it was a salary ditch move, I guess, by Colorado. So it was weird, but you know, there were some interesting things to say about Jokinen, which I kind of want to touch on here because some people, at least in the TSN studio, and I guess some people on NHL Live as well, are not particularly complimentary about Olli Jokinen. I think Matthew Barnaby said he is a cancer in the locker room, which I was frankly shocked at. But some people said he is not a very good teammate. And at least Barnaby claimed to have talked to some Western Conference players who said, oh, he's on Calgary? Good. That makes Calgary worse. Which I thought was pretty shocking. That's pretty damn shocking. So I'm not sure what to make of this. So this Jokinen thing seems like a huge upside for Calgary, but there may be a double-edged sword. I'm not sure.
Didn't he play for Keenan in Florida?
He did.
And so he knows what he's getting.
He knows what he's getting, and Keenan knows what he's getting, and some of the analysts that didn't agree with Barnaby said that he's not going to be the man. I mean, this is a Ginla's team, no question. And he doesn't have to be the guy who leads the charge anymore. And he might very well flourish as a sort of a secondary role, a second line center or a first line center with a Ginla on the wing. So, you know, he doesn't have to sort of take the bull by the horns here. It's a Ginla's team and Phaneuf's team and those guys and Regier. So he doesn't have to, you know, do all that stuff and be a huge leader. So that may help with all of that aforementioned cancer stuff.
You got to give Calgary the benefit of the doubt here as far as, you know, they're going for it. It's a bold move. They're saying that they believe that they can hang with the Wings and the Sharks today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can't necessarily refute that. Do I hope that he implodes that dressing room? Absolutely.
Of course.
But it's going to make them a much more interesting opponent and sets up potentially, you know, the top four seeds in the West, like the Western semis.
Yeah. Could be
could
awesome.
Be explosive.
Yeah.
They could go seven. You know, Wings, Flames, Blackhawks, Sharks. Those are some amazing
two
matchups.
Great series. I would want to watch every single game. But,
for sure.
But Phoenix wasn't done. The number one guy who was on the block, he'd literally been sitting out. They literally benched him because they were going to trade him as Derek Morris. They traded Derek Morris for three guys from the Rangers. The Rangers made some moves today, and they traded Peter Peruka, Nigel Dawes, and Dmitry Kalinin.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, for Derek Morris. So, I say what you want. Some people don't like Derek Morris. Some people do. I thought, you know, I give Phoenix some credit for getting that much. I mean, Nigel Dawes is pretty good. Peter Peruka has been disappointing. Kalinin is taking a lot of heat. So maybe they got one guy out of three that's decent.
I guess. I thought the Rangers already had a disappointing former Phoenix defenseman in Paul Mara. And now they've added Derek Morris to their collection.
Of disappointing defensemen. They added to the pile of Michael Roosevelt and Wade Redden, I guess.
Yay.
So.
A lot of bold moves by the Rangers. They added Antropov too, and I guess you got to give him credit for trying.
I guess,
but I don't know. Tortorella's been there what 2 weeks, and he's already changed the look of that team quite a bit.
Speaking of the Rangers, they brought up Avery, so Avery's on the team now, and you know, Patrick Rismiller still languishing in the minors.
They're going to be an interesting team to watch in the next 2 weeks to see what direction they're going to go this year.
Yeah,
are they
going
to go up? You know, they're the 7 seed right now. Carolina's right on their heels. Buffalo is falling a little bit because Patrick Laine is so good.
He's great.
He's so good. But, you know, which way are the Rangers going to go?
Yeah.
Up, down?
Well, you know, everybody said they were playing kind of lazy, and Tortorella is certainly an antidote to that. He doesn't stand for people playing lazy. And Avery, for all of his faults, no one's ever accused him of playing lazy either. So those are sort of two guys who are directly geared towards getting some jump into the team, and whether the whole Avery mess comes into play or doesn't, you know, is going to be, I'm sure, lots of fodder for media outlets and the New York Post, but,
and for us,
of course, because it's interesting.
Are there any other teams? Did we get everybody?
We didn't get Dallas. Dallas picked up Morrison off of waivers. And earlier in the week, they traded with, the Montreal Canadiens for Steve Bajen. They traded a defenseman that hasn't been playing very much, Doug Janik, for Steve Bajen. So Dallas was very, very quiet. That's pretty much nothing.
As they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they mess with what they already have?
Because they have about 1,000 injuries like the Sharks do.
For them to make a major move would have been stupid. And I think Brett Hull might have been a little gun-shy.
I would hope so. Yeah,
so
I mean, they're still going to be eating half of Avery's contract for the next 3 years.
Yeah, they were, as I thought they'd be, pretty quiet.
Right, so let's see. I'm trying to think of other major trades that happened. I guess the only other major trade was that there was an Ottawa-Columbus trade.
Yeah, dude. Do you want to talk about our winners and losers?
Yeah, let's talk about winners and losers. So
because I would say my winner would be, since we already talked about Calgary a lot, I think they're an obvious winner.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that Ottawa is my winner, and that might sound weird, but their goaltending problems are so at the forefront of their problem.
Legendary. Yes.
Goalie problems. For them to get Pascal Leclerc, who is a legitimate number one goalie in this league.
He had 9 shutouts last year.
When he's healthy. And a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy in Vermette who, you know, might as well have been skating with his head up his butt this year. So they get rid of his deal. They get Leclerc. So they could next year be sitting with a second round pick and a really good goalie. This could end up being a laugher deal.
The question is, can LeClaire stay healthy? Because he's had a lot of injuries. He's had a knee injury. And when you play butterfly style, a knee injury is bad news.
Isn't it worth the risk for them? What else? They got nothing else going on.
I think so. I mean, I think that was a good deal for them. Absolutely. I think you're right. My winner is Edmonton. And they made two really good deals, in my opinion. They got Patrick O'Sullivan from the Kings. And they got rid of Eric Cole. So that's a good move. And what did they get?
Back to where you came from, Eric Cole.
That's right. And they got Kodalik, who is a pretty flashy offensive player from Buffalo, for just a second-round pick. I thought Edmonton, again, I think I talked about them in the offseason making some good moves. They make good moves again. Edmonton is doing the right thing. I mean, Kevin Lowe gets some heat up there, and Steve Tambellini was their GM, but I think Edmonton made two more good moves. I'm not sure this is going to get them into the playoffs, and these moves aren't really designed to do that. But Edmonton is getting better, in my opinion. I thought that was a pretty good move.
Yeah, couldn't hurt what they did. I think that they're an obvious winner for the day, too, dude. Who's right. Your loser?
Well, on the flip side, my loser is the Los Angeles Kings. This Patrick O'Sullivan trade, to me, is out and out by far, by a huge margin, the worst trade of the day. They traded Patrick O'Sullivan, a 24-year-old guy with tons of potential, and a second-round pick for Jason Williams, who's basically had every possible injury you can imagine. He's had about 1,000 groin problems. He's had a concussion problems. He's out now, I think. I mean, Jason Williams is a 31-year-old guy, you know,
he's got three more years on his deal.
He's got three more years on his deal. He's getting paid way too much, and he's... And I can't imagine he's ever going to be as good of a player as he was in the past for a guy who's got tons and tons of upside, and they get rid of a pick. I don't understand Dean Lombardi's move here. I think it's the dumbest deal of the day by far.
When I saw it, I couldn't believe it either. What happened here?
How is Jason Williams going to help that team do anything that
Jason
that
Williams
Patrick O'Sullivan couldn't?
That's a strict dump job. So, you know, Jim Rutherford is sitting there going, oh, yes. Patrick O'Sullivan, that sounds good. And then he's sitting there and he's like, this is really great. I just got a great young player for my team. What should I do with him? I'll trade him to Edmonton for Eric Cole.
So that's your loser is
Carolina? No, I don't think it's a total loser because Carolina, at least Cole... They probably have the intention of re-signing him, you know, bring back the magic of the Stanley Cup team or whatever. Dude, I have two losers, and I hate to do this, but my first loser is the Blackhawks. They gave up way too much for Sammy Paulson, who actually is on IR right now he's got a tummy pull.
He's got mono too.
And he's got mono, you know.
Yep.
You know. Hope he wasn't making out with Travis Moan. But
yeah. The kissing disease.
Oh my. Oh. So they gave up a second round pick. They gave up an inexpensive defenseman. And then they also traded one of their leading scorers on the minor league team to the Ducks for Paulson and an AHL defenseman who's got like 4 points in 44 games and has already been traded this year from Phoenix.
Right.
Very strange move in a year of strange moves by the Blackhawks. They've got some good things going there, but you know, talent just makes some really weird moves.
And we've talked about how Chicago needed a second line center, and Sammy Paulson is not going to be a scoring threat.
No,
regardless
he doesn't solve that
he
problem.
He does not solve that problem. Period.
He does help for matchups against top line players on other teams.
Sure,
Joe and Zetterberg and Datsyuk are going to hate having to face him.
Right,
but. If that's the sole purpose, it didn't really help their second line center problem. Dude, my other loser of the day is the Buffalo Sabres. What were they doing, dude? Darcy Regier.
Dude.
How does he have a job anymore, dude? How does he have any job anymore? Okay, here. I'm Darcy Regier.
He has tenure.
Check this out. All right. Darcy Regier is sitting there going, All right, Tim Connolly, I'm going to give you $4 million because... you usually only play about half the games anyways. Okay. Kodalik, you're unrestricted. Okay. I don't think I can keep you. I'm going to trade you for a second round pick. Okay. Thanks. We really appreciate your time. What am I going to do? I need another winger. I know. I'll trade for unrestricted free agent Dominic Moore.
So he replaced Kodalik with Moore for the same price.
For the same price. Yeah. Why not just keep your own player?
Maybe they hated Kodalik.
As Guy Carbonet would say, dumbass. I don't get it. Stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, tell them about Guy Carboneau as we came up.
We were watching the Sabres and Montreal game, and the Sabres were getting absolutely crushed in every possible aspect of the game, and somehow they managed to score three goals for a 3-0 lead, and they show Guy Carboneau at the end of the second period, and Guy Carboneau, as the players are filing past him to go to the locker room, Guy Carboneau is shaking his head, looking about as mad as a human being can look. I'm sure he's you know, muttering phrases, probably in French, because I couldn't read his lips, but I'm sure there were some bad French words there, but it was a pretty funny sight.
It was a nice, candid moment.
Yeah, it was a candid moment.
I'm sure he was really glad he's being photographed.
Yeah. I'm sure La Presse was reading his lips and was tabulating all the things that he said, and it's going to be in big, bold print on the front of the paper tomorrow. But
dude, today was a good day.
It was a good day. It was a fun trade deadline day, dude, and I'm glad we could podcast here about it. Good times.
Yeah, good times, dude. I'm happy. Travis Moan, we're not going to see him tomorrow. He won't play tomorrow. But they'll be on the trip to Vancouver. We'll see Moan. And I would expect, you know, although Huskins has been on IR, maybe he'll play Saturday just so we can kind of see what he's got going on. But bring on Moan.
Nice. Good trade deadline show, dude.
Dude, nice work, dude.
Thanks. That does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. You can check us out. Our blog on the web is sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and I'm sure you'll be back to join us again next week, same time, same place.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.